Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. And this is not the usual time for us to record, but we are moments away from finding out the host city for Eurovision 2026. And yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I really am nervous.
Oh my God. This is nerve-wracking. Like, I mean, you know, like we've been talking for so long, and that was probably one of those, you know, additions that we were talking about this in the previous episodes, about how much would we want to go to this or that destination anyway, and it feels surreal. This is just moments away.
Well, it makes sense that you're nervous. I mean, this massive event that we love so much could be coming to your hometown, basically. Or pretty much where you
my other hometown.
So,
it's weird because I'm nervous, but I know that I cannot lose. You know, I'm happy with either outcome. But at the same time, you know, I think once we know which city it will be, I know which one I was rooting for. Because, you know, I'm still like, you know, I see, you know, positives and negatives in both, you know, advantages and disadvantages for me personally. But yeah, it's a very luxurious problem to have for sure. Actually, it must be Vienna because yesterday Netta announced her prediction and she said Innsbruck in a huge, you know, this was a huge scene. But also, you know, this had a very ultimate feeling. You know, she gave an entire concert pretty much on Instagram. So like maybe this is the last prediction of her if she gets it right for a change.
Can you imagine after so many years of predicting it wrong? Like, I mean,
that would be
hilarious. And oh my goodness, it's, but you know, if you ask me, it's so hard to decide, and I would say in the previous years it was such an easy decision to do, and for the last few years there was always like a city I wanted to go. It ended up being a host city for the contest, but this time, you know, I love Vienna so much, you both know that, and you know, our podcast is about, you know, building bridges, which was a theme for Eurovision 2015, and so on and so on. But on the other hand, also Innsbruck, you know, it's you know, a city I've never been to, and it's always a great way to celebrate Eurovision in a city I've never been to before. So I mean, it's so 50-50 for me, but if I really would decide, I really want Vienna right now.
I think you'll have to book a separate holiday to Innsbruck and go at different times. I don't think you're going to be there mid-May of 2026. And I think Netta even knows that, and to stay relevant, she picks Innsbruck because she knows she's going to be wrong. So she can do an even more elaborate video next year.
It's becoming her entire career.
Yeah.
So she's going to record an album just with those cities.
Well, while we're waiting for the host city to come in a few minutes, there's really only been one big piece of Eurovision news, and it just dropped the other day. And of course, we have a new logo. This is twice now Austria's hosted in 11 years, and twice we've got an update to the logo. Very much in line with what we've had since 2004, when, of course, it changed for Istanbul. We've still got a harp logo with Eurovision Song Contest, but the font is different, the style is different. Even the heart has been changed, how thick the borders are, a little bit the shape. So, of course, online has gone crazy. All the comments, most of them negative. But once all the dust settles, what do you both think about this change in branding for the EBU, for the contest?
Well, I think I don't really understand why. I get that it's the 70th anniversary and you want to do something special. I think the design with the heart and the 70 is actually quite nice. The coloring is nice. I do not like this font at all, to be honest. And I just don't really understand why, because it was so iconic, you know, this Eurovision font, this Eurovision letters. And now it just looks interchangeable, you know? It could be any, you know, fan graphic design. And again, in recent Eurovision years, so many times I've asked the question, why fix something that's not broken? Like, in 2014 to 2015, they did a small redesign, but it still looked like the old logo, and I think that was actually a good change. But now it, you know, even the casual fans will not recognize it anymore, and I think the old logo was pretty recognizable, even for casual fans. So yeah, maybe it's a one-time thing, maybe they will change it back again, but for now, I'm not too thrilled about it.
Well, I think EBU really hoped for fans to like enjoy or embrace the change, right? So that they would be like, oh, you know, it's 70th anniversary, so let's try and celebrate with it somehow. However, Instagram channel for Eurovision, the post quickly filled with like critical comments. There was, as you said, Sebi, before, there was a lot of people who weren't really happy about it. And I have to say, in the era of, or in 2025, you would say you have all the, I would say, possibilities to make this logo look amazing. Maybe just upgrade it, who knows, maybe just put a little tiny little bit of gold frame up around it, I don't know. But I mean, the thing is that they were hoping to replicate that adaptability while creating a stronger standalone symbol that can live beyond the word mark. And the new heart is like intended to absorb cultural influences, music and movement, according to the EBU. But yes, I mean, I don't really believe that there was the whole HQ of EBU waiting for the outcome of the logo and everybody being impressed by it, because like it really looks like you would say, hey ChatGPT, please make a new logo for 70th edition of Eurovision Song Contest. It really looks like it. I do enjoy United by Music way of how it's done, but I really can't stand the Eurovision Song Contest font. It makes me, I don't know, I have a feeling that the first time I saw it, I thought that I have a stroke. So I really didn't enjoy it that much. And I'm sure the fans, most of them, they will agree with me. Not that they have stroke, but the logo is not really the best idea to put out. We will see how they will adapt to that. So, yeah.
Well, I've been traveling. I'm actually in like the quietest corner of Gatwick Airport I can find right now to wait for the reveal. So I'm not up, on all this as I usually am, but just from flicking through on trains and stuff the last few days, it seems like the top two comments are, it looks like a Canva logo. So yeah. like you were saying, very cheap. And also, it looks like the Junior Eurovision logo, which is interesting because they've come out since and said that the Junior Eurovision for this year in Georgia will use this new logo as well with the word Junior added.
And also the United by Music slogan as well.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. Yeah, Sebi, like you said, these are things that didn't need to be fixed that they're focusing on when there's so much that can be fixed, and that could be a whole other podcast. it's odd, and odd timing. You would think, what a wonderful time to reveal the new logo with the host city in it, because that's the other part of this. Where is that going to, is it still going to be underneath? Is it going to be the same weird new font? What's it going to look like? And it seems like they're double, because they've created a font for this. This isn't just any random font. It's licensed now by the EBU. And we've been told basically to expect to see a lot of it. So think the broadcast in May. Think maybe even the scoreboards are going to use these new fonts. So it's here to stay.
Yeah, anyway, we will not find any solution for this now, and this just keeps drifting away from the actual exciting part of this episode. So, okay, so we will have the announcement in just a few moments. So, I would say, let's go, let's do it, and then we will hear each other again when we know the host city.
We invite you to join us. Welcome to Austria. Welcome to Vienna. In a city that beats to its own rhythm. A city where you belong.
Oh my God, it's Vienna. I'm still shaking, honestly, but I haven't processed it that I will not even need a bed or anything. I just can go home to my place for every day during Eurovision week next year. Ah, it's crazy. And we broke the streak of non-capital hosts. So guys, what do you think?
Oh my God, it's again, I still recall my Eurovision from 2015, how great it was that I didn't have to, you know, change a gazillion amount of planes to get to Eurovision. I was just in a car for like 3 and 4 hours, and you know, I was there, and I can't believe this is happening again, you know, in like, and it's surreal to think about it. It's coming back to Vienna.
Yeah, so Vienna, of course, like you said, breaks the capital streak of capitals not hosting. It'll be their third time hosting after 2015, obviously, and after Merci Cheri won back in the 60s. 68, I guess, was when they hosted.
1967.
67. Oh, yeah, right. Cliff Richard's all that crap. Right. Yeah. So the number of host cities stays at 46 for now. Innsbruck won't get their opportunity. But you never know. You never know. Taya could come back. Is it Taya or Selena, the one that wrote the song?
Which one? The winning song is Taya.
Taya. Taya, right. Mm-hmm. Selena's the one in the U-Bahn. That's right.
One of our besties.
Yes. I know. I just keep getting them mixed up. Well, she could come back and write another winning song. You never know. She has the knack for it.
Yeah, she most certainly does. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, for you, Sevi, can you imagine? Like, I mean, it will literally be, you know, sleeping in your own bed for the whole period of Eurovision. This is the only thing that I'm missing during Eurovision every year. You know, sleeping on a proper bed for whatever amount that I'm sleeping anyway. But like, you know, it's wow. I mean, and also for us, I'm so excited. You know, our podcast was named after, you know, the theme from Eurovision 2015, where it all began for all of us. You know, it was my first proper Eurovision. It was your first on-site, Sebi, right? And yeah. And Dave, you started your Eurovision journey with Austrian Eurovision 2015. So it really feels so special, and I can't believe that we will be there again. And with, you know, our fourth season of podcast, of course.
Crazy.
And it's an anniversary edition, and Austria is always known for being eloquent and very fancy, and you've just got this feeling like it's going to be something very special.
Oh, okay. Do you think Euroclub will be in Otterkringer Brauerei again, or no?
It's possible. I think there is a few options, but anyway, it's a good send for a podcast because I'm in Vienna. I live in Vienna, so the whole year I can give you all the inside updates to everything that's happening here.
Yes.
So yeah, that's gonna be really exciting. So definitely subscribe to our podcast and make sure to follow us on that exclusive journey. And yeah, it's safe to say that Netta should not play the lottery, because even in 50-50 chance, this is now her, how much, her sixth or seventh attempt? Seventh. That she guessed wrong.
Yeah.
She's just like Slovenian Eurovision jury. It just doesn't work. So,
yeah. You know. That's a good end quote. So make sure to follow us, Building Bridges Pod, on social media. Our website is buildingbridgespod.com. And stay tuned for more insights from Austria.
Yes, and see you very soon. Bye-bye.